A remote property in northern Utah has been described as a Disneyland of paranormal and supernatural phenomena.
Have you guys ever heard of Skinwalker Ranch?
More than just some window opening into another dimension.
Infamously dubbed Skinwalker Ranch.
Story in the news today.
You believe in ghosts and the paranormal?
Now, are they UFOs or are they like some crazy experimental, governmental?
I don't know.
Planes that they're building.
And police in Española are catching more than just criminals. They're catching images of what they believe are ghosts.
Weird animal-like creature that was shot, wolf-like creature that just stood out in some odd ways.
And welcome to Strange Uncles. I'm Shane.
I'm John.
I'm Josh, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to call you Stole this time. There's okay. A reason for it, I believe. So we have some guest co-hosts and friends actually in the studio. Welcome, Larry and Al.
What's up, welcome, guys?
How's it going?
Good.
Thanks for having us.
By all means. We're going to explain some background of why they're in the studio, and maybe the topic that we're talking about might help, and that's going to be the infamous Skinwalker.
Yes.
So, yes. For those of you who've been following some of the social media, some of the platforms, and our stories from the other previous podcasts, we had a unique opportunity to actually go on a camping trip of sorts out there. And 3 days of fucking weirdness, if I must say so myself.
It got pretty weird.
Yeah, it got pretty weird. Do you guys want to promote your team and other things going on?
Sure. We have this team with John that we created last year in 2018 called Cold Research Team. Kind of like an amateur research team through high strangeness, the paranormal, all things that interest us. And, we're not professionals, but we try to get boots on the ground and actually go research the places that are strange and, crazy.
At least once a year, trying to get out there and document or experience at least some of the weirder things on the paranormal side.
And the Uinta Basin is the perfect place to do that.
It is.
Oh boy.
So why cold research?
It's kind of an inside joke. When we went to the Uinta Basin last year, we were kind of mentioning Indrid Cold throughout the entire trip. And
which he's Indrid Cold is the guy or the entity that called John Keel in 1967 in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, yeah, on the phone.
He actually, the first part of that is he basically pulled over an electronics of sorts salesman and walked up to his car door and asked like what the town was or what they called all those lights in the distance. And he's like, oh, that's a town. And he said he had a huge creepy smile, kind of was in like a drab suit. And that's in The Mothman Prophecies by John Keel.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of not the birthplace, but the epicenter of high strangeness, that story. So,
but yeah, in a nutshell, yeah,
Indrid Cold.
That's why we call it cold research, because we had about a 1,000 million Indrid Cold inside jokes that no one will ever laugh at.
Yeah. So. Are you exaggerating, sir?
No,
not at all.
Not even close.
That's actually an exact number.
That shit's funny. That's pretty cool, actually. I got to say, I never even thought to ask you guys where it stemmed from. So, yeah. Fuck, that's badass. That's better than Strange Uncles. Jesus. What the fuck are we talking about over here?
I like it. I like Strange Uncles.
Yeah, well, keep don't it. Say that in a birthday party.
All right.
Not good for anybody.
Okay.
Anywho. So welcome, guys. First of all, I guess I'm kind of the newbie on the team because, you guys all kind of grew up together, which is cool, for the most part. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. We talked about other trips, too. Again, this episode, actually, this is more likely going to be a two-parter, I think. We've been talking about this. A lot of stuff to cover. A lot of stuff that happened. You know, we're going to try our damnedest to throw things out on social media, YouTube clips that we've seen. I mean, it, especially you, Al, oh, fuck. When we get to that point, there's, you got to tell your story.
I was going to say, I think I have a whole story arc of my own, like through last year and this year that I kind of have put together the last month. So yeah, I'm excited to tell it.
Yeah, no, it's just being cool. I think it's cool. So that's our topic. However, one other thing that we ask people to do back and forth here is either number one, call our hotline, which is 801-252-69.
Woo!
45. So I'm so glad I picked that. So that's our hotline. You can actually write us to strangeuncles@gmail.com. We had a listener of the show write in a story, and this kind of fits in the cryptid territory. So I thought maybe this would be kind of a cool thing. We've got a lot of info to talk about the Skinwalker, so we're going to dish the news clips this time. We're all in agreement, so we've just got too much info out there for what our trip was. But I do want to read this because this is she took her time to write it up, and kind of cool that people do this. So folks, write in by all means. All right, so this actually comes from Sue. She is a native from Utah as well. We're kind of friends with the podcast. You guys talked to her briefly.
Yeah, we love Sue.
About other things, yeah, by all means, you know. So anyway, here's the story. So I'm a believer, primarily because a lab somewhere has mysterious DNA harvested from a cabin that was broken into. I'm referencing the Bigfoot. That has remained unidentified, but has aspects of both human and simian genetic material. The cabin in question was trashed twice by something very large, bipedal, and very strong. So unless it was Hulk Hogan in a roid rage, doubtful, that alone should substantiate the idea that we humans don't know everything that lurks in the woods. Secondly, we humans don't know everything that lurks in the woods. I think that two is a strong argument on its own. But I digress. She says, several years ago, I was slogging my way at work. I was sitting on a row with about five of us, and it was just too quiet. Hoping to get a laugh of some kind of response, I just blurted out. So who here believes in Bigfoot? It did get a laugh or two, coming out of the blue, as it were, but Jason, the guy sitting next to me, stayed silent and suddenly looked more like a little uncomfortable. The others didn't notice and were chatting a bit, but I was intrigued. As soon as our coworkers left in the usual gird herd to the bathroom, Jason, the solitary male of the bunch, and I were finally where I could badger him about his reaction without attracting attention from the others. My instinct was that he didn't want the others to hear about whatever had disturbed him so much. I was right. It took a great deal of coaxing to get him to talk, but he finally opened up. He said a few years back, either he or his roommate at the time had suffered a breakup with a girlfriend and was just having a rough time. So the two decided to go for a drive to Park City and camp overnight up on the side of the mountain above the town, out of the way of the ski runs. If you've been to Park City, you know that there are dozens of hills and ravines coming down along where the skiing trails are during the winter. They are heavily wooded and beautiful any time of the year, so they naturally be a nice place to set up a small camp and commiserate on the fickle nature of women. Gear was pulled out of the closets, hot dogs, buns, and beer procured, and the two set off on their mini-adventure. Jason recalled it to have been a very warm day as it was high summer. The beer, loaded in an ice chest filled with chipped ice, was beckoning when they set. I love how she lays this all out. This is like
I can see it clearly.
Exactly.
Wish I was there.
Yeah, right? It was beckoning when they set up their little campfire and started roasting the hot dogs as the sun set. Both the guys had managed to down at least a six-pack each by the moon was rising over the blackness of the massive pines around them. He recalled that they had picked a spot that was on a gentle slope, but right next to a fairly steep ravine. The bottom of the ravine was lined with rocks and presumably because a small stream during the spring runoff. As he talked, I noticed he was becoming somewhat emotional. He broke off suddenly and looked at me in the eye and said, I don't like talking about this. It really freaked me out and I couldn't sleep for weeks after. I responded that it was probably a good thing to talk about it, as bottling things up was never a good thing. I was sincere in my concern, but I was also intent on hearing what he had seen. I assured him that I wouldn't think any less of him. He's a really good guy, and unfortunate that this had upset him to the degree it obviously had. And I mentioned that I could tell him a few stories of my own that might be considered unnerving, all too true, which she's full of them. He finally continued. Naturally, when you consume a fair quantity of liquid in a short amount of time, nature will call, and Jason realized he needed to get the pressure off his bladder. So, staggering up to his feet, he carefully made his way over to the edge of the ravine, carefully so as not to slip over the edge of the rocks. He began relieving himself when he suddenly became acutely aware of sour stench that smelled like a cross between an unwashed human and a dead skunk. Even worse, he saw the source of the odor. Something was moving along the ravine immediately below where he was pinned. In his words, it was human-shaped and walked on two legs. In the blackness with limited moonlight, he could make out very few details, but he could see it was gigantic, easily 7.5 or 8 feet tall. It was swinging its arms as a human would and glanced up very briefly without halting its progress down the ravine. Jason maintained that he actually stopped urinating midstream for the shock of seeing the thing in the ravine.
Wait, did he pee on Bigfoot?
I don't know. How close was Bigfoot? Because maybe that's where the smell's coming from. Anyway. Sobered by terror, he hastily scrambled over to the campfire, doused it, grabbed his protesting buddy, and forced him into the car. With every ounce of willpower he could muster to stop shaking, he quickly drove the 7 or 8 miles down to a Walmart parking lot, where he and his buddy spent the rest of the night in the car, grateful for the sight and the sounds of other people, and for the large parking lot lights illuminated around them. Yeah. So that is a Bigfoot story. Now, I've heard Bigfoot being was it Ogden or Provo last year?
Provo, I think Utah County is
Utah County. There's been many sightings.
That one video that was posted a while ago, I just couldn't quite see what he was talking about, though. I watched it a couple times. And
the one on the rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell either, personally.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one you're talking about there, but there is one from a high school kid. I don't know if it's the same video, but I think the high school kid's video is pretty compelling.
Yeah, the one I saw, it's from what I remember, I think it was a dad, and he was filming up on a mountain or like a hill. I think it's the one that Larry, you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, I just couldn't see anything.
Was that the one that went up afterwards to try to see if they couldn't kind of track it back when they were up on the mountainside? Or was that a different one?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you know, to either.
I mean, there's 5 million Bigfoot videos out there.
That's
Well, that's the funny thing about evidence is if it's your own evidence, you're like, this is badass. And you show it to people and they're like, what the fuck is that? I don't see shit. And you're like,
yeah.
How do you not see that?
It's
you
know? Right there.
Yeah.
So exactly. I can see how
you had to be there that type happens. Of a thing.
I'm just super intrigued by this golden shower angle for Bigfoot. I'm like, is that what he's into? Is that why he smells
this,
so fucking
Is this
bad?
Cryptid porn? Because is this a new thing? I don't think. I don't know how many people are into that.
Well, break out the Chuck Tingle books.
Didn't you guys talk about the Bigfoot what are the novels, the romance novels, the sexual?
Yeah, that's
I believe
Chuck
you brought
Tingle.
That up.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
that
is. Is that his real fucking
that's
name?
So weird.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Chuck Tingle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it exists, but also
I'm kind of horrified it exists, but
exactly.
That's okay.
No, like the titles are so great. They're all like pounded in the ass by Bigfoot. It's fucking amazing.
Shaving Bigfoot from the ground up.
His mother must be so proud.
Probably.
Oh, Tingle. Definitely. I knew you were a writer the whole time. Oh, goddamn. Anyway, well, hey, so Sue, not to ruin your story, it was actually awesome.
Sorry.
It was, and I feel for Jason. I'm sure that's not his real name. Maybe it is, but I know this area is like that. Montana, I have a uncle that swore to God hunting. He saw something out there, and he can't explain it. So,
yeah, if I saw what Jason saw, I would be terrified
and
immediately leave as well.
I think I
wouldn't have stopped
piss
at the
all
Walmart
myself either.
Parking lot.
I would have just gone to where I preside.
Yeah.
I have a feeling
story. I was interested. Why did he just go to a Walmart parking lot and park? Like, why didn't they just go home?
I think because his girlfriend broke up. Maybe that's why, because it was an awkward situation at home.
But he was with his friend, wasn't he?
He was.
Is his friend just an asshole? And like, yo, bro, I know you're...
Kind of sounds like
I know you're heartbroken, but you cannot sleep on my couch. Like,
yeah, not
his friend's girlfriend's a dick.
Shit's going down at home. We got to chill in this parking lot, even though got pissed on by
they
Bigfoot.
They did drink 6 whole beers. Maybe they were like, this is far enough.
Yeah, and if they were Mormon, 6 beers is definitely put you over the edge as it is, more likely.
If they were Mormon, definitely. They probably weren't drinking 6 beers.
Well, thank you, Sue, for the write-in.
Yeah, by all means. Yeah, like I said, anybody can do it. So we got promos in here. By all means, follow it. Off the website as well. You can look at the website, and you can reach out and contact us, too. MyStrangeUncles.com. And then when we kind of get towards the end, you guys, if you have any promos, by all means, how to get a hold of you, too, and you three, actually, and what you do, and we can go from there. But I think at this juncture, we need to roll into our adventure.
What do we do when we wake?
Keep rolling.
What do we do when we sleep?
Keep one eye on the sky.
All right. So let's start out like this. Let's start out with some of First of all, I will say I didn't even know what Skinwalker was till I moved to Utah. And as much into the weird and the strange that I am, I blew my fucking mind. I never knew what the Skinwalker was. Okay, so that's first and foremost. We also want to promote some things going on. If you guys haven't had a chance to, we're going to do some brief history, but we're not really going to go a lot into it. I think all of us can kind of add to that history a little bit. There, if you're like me and you really don't know what the Skinwalker was, it's out there, and it's something, and it's kind of fucking terrifying, I hate to say.
And we don't need to get too far into the history because, the book by Colm Kelleher and George Knapp, Hunt for the Skinwalker, is readily available, along with Jeremy Corbell's book by the same name.
Right.
So his documentary.
Yeah, his documentary. Right. Book.
And that was out 2018, the documentary and that. Yeah. And that's based off the book with George Knapp, too, narrating some of that.
Yeah, so. And it's been thoroughly covered by people smarter than us.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be our experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Brief recap to set it up, and then we're going to party.
Yep. So the brief recap is, number one, for those of you who don't know what a skinwalker is, mainly Navajo tradition. The skinwalker is believed to be the witch doctor of the tribe to sort, that can actually shift change. So he can go from animal to human. Usually it's when one tribe is rivaling with another tribe, they kind of send out a skinwalker to take care of that other said tribe. Usually it shows itself in the form of a coyote or wolf of some sort, which actually fits right into the Skinwalker history because there's a lot of that. Okay, so that's just some background Indian history. The Uintah Basin in general just has some weird history anyway. There is a write-up as well on mystrangicles.com about Skinwalker that I wrote last year. Everything from the petroglyphs in the caves to some of the stories of the UFO sightings from the town of Roosevelt, the town of Fort Duchesne, that's in that whole area. If you want to take and segregate Skinwalker in general, it really starts in the early 90s with the Sherman family.
So now we're talking about the ranch, not the actual paranormal thing.
Right, the paranormal all through that basin. But the ranch itself is 200 acres of just strange shit. Early 90s when the Shermans took it over, from New Mexico, they found a good deal on it, and they took it from a couple who moved back to Salt Lake. What was weird, just one of the caveats was, don't dig on this property. If you do, you got to let us know.
Yeah, they told them that they had to let the previous owners know if they were going to dig at all, which is weird. Plus the locks on the cabinets, but I'm sure we'll get
into that. And the insides and outsides of the doors, big padlocks.
Right. The house in general was just set up like it was kind of a prison, which was kind of weird.
A little bunker, kind of.
Yeah, of sorts. About 2 years of just absolutely bonkers activity before they pulled in Bigelow and his team? Is that roughly right? Because 96 was NIDS.
I think that sounds like a good
2.5 years.
Yeah. So when we talk about bonkers activity, we're talking giant wolves that are shot at and not killed. We're talking about orbs in the sky, cattle mutilations.
Portals.
Absolutely. Cattle mutilations. Again, no blood. Clean as a whistle. Laid down.
Zero blood. UFOs. Portals opening.
Poltergeist coming out of the portals.
Poltergeist activity.
Poltergeist activity in the house.
The one thing they did see over and over was this strange orange blob in the sky that he sometimes said to have shown like another sky inside of
him. Oh, yeah.
It was nighttime, and he said he could see a blue sky with clouds on the other side at sometimes when he saw it.
So it literally was a portal of sorts that you could,
place.
And they also saw the portals too in the mountains, I believe. When NIDS was there, they saw portals open up on the northwest corner of the ranch where there was one report where one of the NIDS, so Bigelow is a very, very rich man, made all of his money off the Budget Inn Suites of America. He is one of, and still, despite what you think about him, he is one of the few people who has donated most of his private money to researching the paranormal, not just UFOs, but paranormal in general. I mean, the guy's, some say bonkers, but millions of dollars.
I think that anyone that can put a large amount of money towards any of this is great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether they get results or not, that's what it needs.
Yep.
Is money for research.
Love and attention is what it needs, not skepticism and criticism,
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. And I think what was good about Bigelow was he was located in Las Vegas, which literally was like 4 hours, 5 hours away. Yep. They could get in a plane, they could fly there. So his team started, and there was one report where literally one of his research members watched a portal open up in a mountain and something walking on what he supposedly called hands and feet and scathing itself up the mountain out of the portal and disappearing.
Yeah, some type of humanoid creature.
That guy was named Eric Davis, by the way. That's the one name that I wrote down today through my 4 hours of podcast that I listened
to. Isn't that ironic that I just threw that out there as a fact?
I wrote his name down because the NIDS team said that they would mostly only get activity if Eric was around.
Oh, really? Okay, see, that's a fact. Yes. Huh.
Eric was their owl.
And that's, he kind of,
So
we'll get into that more, but
Yeah, should we not get into that right now?
I don't.
Or we can.
Thanks. Well, we got to get into it, but not maybe right now, but I think that's there's more to this.
Al's a conduit.
Al's a conduit.
Eric Davis, though, will kind of, be aligned with me in some sorts.
Interesting.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was very interesting, that story, and that's funny, the connection. We will talk about that here about midway because, damn. That's all I got to say about some of the things, kind of amazing. So anyway, long story short, Sherman's got scared. Now, why, if I was a man who just wanted to raise cattle, why I wouldn't abandon everything and all hope way before he did? I'm sorry, the guy's got cojones bigger than I do because there's no fucking way.
He definitely does. He was just dealing with that day to day because he had so much invested in all of those cattle.
Yeah.
Well, he even stayed on as a
caretaker
for of the NIDS. Property That's even what after I was just gonna even say. Even after they sold the moved. Sold the property, he stayed on as a caretaker for the land.
Yeah, like he kept working there.
Yeah.
He obviously still gave a fuck about the whole thing.
Well, he wanted his people cattle to believe
and
him.
The phenomenon as well.
Because when NIDS were there, shit didn't always happen. And I think that frustrated him to the point of like, dude, no, this shit is happening to me all the time.
Right.
But with such like a scope of scientific research over it, it just would hide.
And let's cover this real quick. NIDS, what's NIDS stand for again? Just a reference for the...
Off the top of my head, I think it's the National Institute for Discovery Sciences.
Yes, that's right. Correct. That's right.
Off the top of your head. Shut the fuck up.
It was off the top of my head. I don't got anything in front of me.
Yeah.
That's funny. It was off. That's
literally off the top of my head.
God, I'm so impressed right now.
You're welcome.
If I wasn't married, John, Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now.
That's me. Sexual tension in here.
Goddamn. Shunk a burn
burn. Just looked it up and you nailed it.
Oh, nailed it. Never been so damn proud of myself in my life.
Jesus Christ. I give you a gold star for that
one. I've just been waiting for somebody to ask me that question for the past like 4 years.
It's been on my bucket list.
National Institute of Discovery
actually,
Science.
Actually.
I could see you adjusting your imaginary glasses.
Right.
Well, actually. Jesus
Christ, funny you should mention that.
Funny you should ask me. Anyway, so yeah, that's what that stands for. Bigelow came over again. Mr. Sherman did stay on for a reference point for them. Now, I don't think the NIDS team had sightings, but I don't think they had as much as with the Sherman family.
Not nearly as much as I can.
Right. A lot of times when they did too, they would go and they would have a sighting and then they would go look at their camera and their camera would be destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed, broken, didn't record during that specific time.
Or it happened behind the frame of view of the camera.
Just like, barely.
So they'd move it and then it would happen behind the frame of
view. It would static out. That happens sometime too.
It's got a trickster element. It's almost fucking with them.
We're going to talk about the trickster elements. Remind me, folks, to bring up the tripod story when we get into this.
We will.
But so basically that's kind of the this is, again, rolling into late 90s time frame. So now, Sherman's, of course, they sold to Bigelow. Number one, Bigelow. And I'm going to bring a little bit of the money into it, too, because, yes, it's a weird setup. But I feel we owe a topic about, number one, the ranch was bought by Bigelow for dirt cheap.
200 grand.
Dirt cheap. 500 acres, 200 grand.
Yep. That's chump change for Bigelow.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Chump change for anyone, kind of, if you're buying 400 acres,
Well, that's how crazy. He can bring in all of these researchers and scientists and pay them for what, 8 years, was it?
Right. It was a little under 8 years when they were setting up research. So they set up research on that ranch. And again, they compiled whatever facts they had, whatever they saw. There were things saw by Eric, for example.
There's experiences.
The experiences are there.
But not much caught on camera, which I'm like, Dude, I caught more in two expeditions on my shitty camera than Nids caught in 8 years.
Right.
It kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. But then again, you think about the, okay, let's be devil's advocate about the time frame too. Mid-90s technology. Eh. It's, not everybody had.
It's not very good.
My technology kind of looks like mid-90s, though.
I mean, we're
to be honest.
We're not operating with.
It's a $150 so-called night vision monocular.
Yeah, it looks like. It looks like the thing that they have on Star Wars when they're on Hoth.
Oh, it totally does.
Oh, Jesus. I never thought about
it
that.
It does. That's
fucking but yeah, we're...
Which is cool.
The cameras that we're using or we have used in the past are like the lowest...
A $30 drone.
Yeah.
And a $150 monocular. And I've probably caught over 20 unexplainable videos.
Right.
Four to five that are shareable that, you know... People won't laugh at me when I show them.
Well, and yeah, but so again, devil's advocate, yeah, the technology, maybe whatever it is. What happened? If we fast forward past this whole thing, now currently, as this was 2017, and this is kind of where the chasing the money comes into play. I think it was Newsweek that broke this. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, write in, tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think Newsweek broke the idea that Harry Reid was actually, who at the time is senator for Nevada, right? Yep. And he earmarked $30 million for advanced aeronautics research. At the time, didn't say what that research was. He just earmarked that money for Congress. That went funneled right into Bigelow and his program and what they wanted to do. Because then NIDS was dropped, and then he changed into the advanced aeronautics program.
Yep.
I remember coming across a story in 2012 of a local that lived in Fort Duchesne. And he said one night all the power shut off in the entire town. When I say town, there's what, three buildings maybe? Not really much of a town, but you know,
in
it's there.
In Fort Duchesne.
In Fort Duchesne. Yeah, it's not much there.
A lot of trailers, small houses.
Yeah. All the power shut off, couldn't see anything. A big purple orb sphere came out of Skinwalker Ranch, disappeared, and then lights came back on. The city was fine and everything was normal. And that was actually a documented report in 2012. So something was happening, something was being done there. And then you look at the $30 million earmark. Harry Reid, of course, you know, that guy, he was golfing buddies with Bigelow, you know, and George Knapp too, likewise, was in that same kind of that same connection. George Knapp, again, is one of the ones that helped write the Skinwalker, was interviewed for it. So there is a money aspect on this. So currently now it was sold, I think in 2017, to this realty company called Adamantium Real Estate, which, come on, guys.
I think it still belongs to Bigelow, but he's just taking his name off of it, and that's a subsidiary.
Well, and Adamantium, that's a,
that's Wolverine's fucking skeleton, guys.
Claws. I mean, it's like a real thing, but also very X-Men.
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous is what it is. Anyway,
yeah, well, you wouldn't name a real estate company. Well, no, I would, but.
No. I mean, that's badass, I guess. But, I mean. It's still Bigelow.
Titan Construction.
Yeah,
I just, whatever. You know, anyway, it is Bigelow. I think he's still in the background.
And
of
the
this.
DOD.
A lot of the DOD is involved in that too as well. Yeah, I really do believe so. So, you know, obviously there's something going on up there. Now, they still have guards. It's still posted. There's still a radar and gate. There's still cameras. You cannot gain access in and out of that property. And there's something in the story when we go here shortly into our experiences, there's something we did stumble on that we'll talk real briefly about. But not only that ranch in general, but that entire area, again, just a reference, it is just weird. It's a hotspot between Bottle Hollow, which is about 3 miles away. There was a book that was written.
Utah UFO display.
Display, yes.
Is that what it? Yes, written by a teacher. He gathered over 700 accounts.
Yes.
Between such and such time, but I think the last one was 76.
And 70s, yeah.
And it's a book. It's out there. It's actually, I haven't read it yet, but I guess a really good book. And documented accounts.
I have it. I've only read a little bit of it, but it documents, this stuff goes way, way back.
Well, and that book only referenced UFO sightings in the basin. He had not heard of Skinwalker Ranch until 2009 when he revamped his book and included his thesis on Skinwalker.
Yeah, and just to reiterate with the Skinwalker Ranch, that really wasn't a tag till Bigelow kind of got out of there. It was known as a Sherman Ranch for a long time. It was never, the Indians didn't call it the Skinwalker Ranch, you know? You really don't talk about this ranch either to the local residents that live around that area that are of Native American descent because they don't mention the name Skinwalker.
You don't say that word.
The word Skinwalker invites something negative. invites the skinwalker, you know. Yeah. I think they believe that if you leave it alone, it's not going to knock back, as they say.
Yeah, correct. So does anybody else have any history to add? Again, you can find history, multiple podcasts in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, in the documentary Hunt for the Skinwalker. We just wanted to kind of enlighten people that maybe are listening from other countries or East Coast or whatever have you that really doesn't have a clue. It really is one of the top-notch hotspots in the country, and I'd venture to say damn near the world if you really were a betting man.
Sure.
No, I would say definitely check out the book and the documentary, or well, both, but if you don't like to read, the documentary is awesome. And also Mysterious Universe did a couple of like really in-depth episodes on this a couple years back, and they covered some like lesser known stories that were really cool, like that involved some super weird shit, so it's worth digging.
Yeah, I think everybody has their own flip on it. Obviously, we do too. But our flip is this. We live roughly 3 hours away from said Skinwalker Ranch because we're all located down in Salt Lake, Utah. For those of you who don't know geography, we're really close. And so I guess we can kind of get into our trip, guys.
I would like to talk about our experience last year a little bit. The cold research team, Larry, Alex, myself, and John. We went to the Uinta Basin last year just to kind of, I guess, just go there and experience it. We didn't really expect anything out of it, but we ended up catching some videos, some orbs. We saw a Bigfoot tree structure that may or may not be that, but I think last year's trip was, it gave us a lot for never delving into it
before. Yeah, we just wanted to go check out the area because it was so close and
it's such a hot spot.
Yeah, and we ended up doing some weird stuff too, meditating, you know, just trying everything. But as soon as we were done meditating, we caught that huge orb flying overhead
very first giant orb.
That was the very first one.
That was the very first night that we...
That's the video you showed me when I first met you. That was the very first video you showed me. When you talk about the Bigfoot structure, that was close, but not in that area. That was the Rachel National Forest?
Ashley.
Ashley.
Ashley National Forest. Well,
whatever,
girl.
Tiffany? I don't know, whatever.
So that's right out of outside of White Rocks, right near Roosevelt.
About an hour and a half away.
Not even that far, probably 30 minutes.
About a half hour
30
north.
Minutes to get to White Rocks, and then another 20, 25 to get up the mountain into the Ashley. Okay. So. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was our first trip, and I think we were just super compelled after our experiences there.
Yeah, I mean, I flew the drone a few times and didn't see anything while we were flying it, but after the fact, like sitting at camp while we were just chilling and drinking beers, looking at the video footage, ended up looking like we captured things that we can't explain in the forest at Pelican Lake. But then the night vision footage that we did catch, that was real time. We saw that with our eyes and with the camera.
Yeah.
That was the first thing we saw, was a giant orb directly over our heads, which we didn't expect shit from this. Like, I mean, we wanted, you know, we were hoping, but we didn't expect it. And all of a sudden, all three of us, right over our heads, was a giant orb.
And you were at Pelican Lake, right?
Ashley National.
This was Ashley National Forest.
Very first day was in the Ashley National.
Just north of Skinwalker and even farther north of Pelican Lake.
And that was naked eye and recorded, right?
Naked eye and recorded, yep.
That's rad.
Yeah, we'll have to link to that video. It's on Cold Research Instagram.
Yeah, at Cold Research Team Instagram and Cold Research Team on Facebook. You can access both of those through those mediums. So
nice. Yeah, awesome. So that's from last year a little bit. Fast forward to this year. So, you know, I was actually able to be part of this year because I kind of just met you guys as a group. Something John was talking about, hey, we're all getting together, we're going to do this. And so Saturday, you were up there, I think Friday, you and Larry got up there.
Larry and I got up there Friday morning or Friday afternoon and had a full day and a half, 2 days by ourselves up there.
If I remember right, it wasn't a good day for you, right, Al? Shit was going south.
Shit was going weird as soon as we kind of got to the area, it was very cloudy when we were there, and I tried to fly my drone the first couple days, ended up flying it into the lake, seemingly breaking the camera on that. I got three bloody noses the first night that didn't seem to stop, and then Saturday morning shut my weed pen in the door, and that was a real bummer.
That was the first thing you told me when I showed up. Dude, you won't believe what I just fucking did.
Shattered it. Yeah. Straight shattered it.
And that's at Pelican Lake.
That's at Pelican Lake. And Pelican Lake was the location we got to last year where we were like, yes, this is like a safe spot, but this is the closest we can get to the ranch.
There's a lot of visibility of the sky.
It just felt good there. The energy felt okay there as opposed to the rest of everywhere else around there.
Remind me to cover that as we go into the story, because when we talk about energy, as we did the other days, we ventured close to the Skinwalker and then we're kind of leaving Skinwalker. That energy, as weird as it sounds, changes. Yes. The further away you get from what you really...
It totally does. And last year, 2018, when we first went, all three of us, I think, like there were the whole time, at least for me, like when we were looking for camping spots on the other side of that highway in just the desert where we found all the bones. And I mean, there's a huge backstory to all that, but the energy was very real.
It was you palpable. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For all three of us. And that's kind of a difference between last year's trip and this year's trip is the first 2 days on this trip. It was almost like you couldn't feel it. It was almost like last year was saying, hey, man, I showed you enough shit last year. Why the fuck are you back here already?
Right.
In my mind.
You had said something similar to that.
After things had transpired through this 2019 trip, that's kind of what I came back to is, hey, man, we showed you so much shit last year. Why the fuck are you even looking this year?
I kind of felt like I had way more of an emotional connection to last year than this year.
I did it as well. Yeah.
That's where it differs for me, because I feel like this year was way more emotionally taxing.
It was focused on you, Al. I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agreed. My wife and I visited Skinwalker in 2018, and just to go to the front gate type thing. But we got some recordings. We did some other things. But it was different. It was different when I rolled in. For a geography standpoint, Pelican Lake is about, 5 miles?
5 to 7 miles away from the actual Skinwalker property.
Right. So it's a lake, and it's BLM. For those of you who are local that want to go up there, there's sites set up, and there's a porta-potty, outside things, whatever. It's a campground of sorts. So it's nice to be that distance away, but at the same time close enough. But when you talk about perfect sky view, almost zero light pollution because you're sitting on top of that basin. And that's what's cool, because you don't have a lot of that city pollution, that city light pollution going on.
Sure.
So
that's exactly why we, this year in 2019, we're like, should we go right back there or should we go around somewhere else? And I think everyone universally agreed that it had the most sky available
to watch. Sitting on that dock on Pelican Lake,
it's a great spot.
You have a full 360 view of everything around you.
So let's talk about that. Let's get into that, because that was the first day. So John and Stoll showed up the next day on Sunday.
I showed up on Sunday.
You guys were there on Friday. Thursday too, I think, right?
Or just Friday. Just Friday to Saturday.
Like Friday morning.
Right. I rolled in Saturday fairly late once I found the fucking place. Jesus, fuck you, Google. God damn it.
Yeah, it's hard to get there if you're really trying to get there by the maps.
It leads you in the completely wrong fact. And I thought it was Skinwalker right from the get-go. I'm like, oh, well, fuck. They don't want to. I'm going to turn around. I'm done.
If you follow Google Maps, you won't get there.
No, you absolutely will not get there.
Which,
so don't follow Google
enough,
Maps.
Usually it's Apple Maps that does that to you. But
I just think any map.
Yeah. This is where it is.
Because when we first found it, in 2018, remember we had to go
three separate fucking ways. We ended up in the marshes, and then we ended up going to.
We were coming the direction I was going to go off the highway, and then through this all bullshit.
Even this year, Larry and I had to go through like the fucking oil fields because his phone just kept saying, "Yep, keep going." And I was like, "Josh, it's not a fucking road." And then we'd get up to it, and it'd be a turn. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Oh, yeah.
We just keep driving. And we drove right through the oil fields and went out the road connected right to our campground, but the sign coming out of that turnoff was like, all family members and patrons to the lake, keep out of this area. So obviously we didn't come the right way. So don't try the maps.
And again, just to reference, so you guys don't think we're in Texas, the Uinta Basin is the highest elevation in Utah, I believe, before you go into Colorado. A lot of dinosaur fossils, a lot of areas up there. So when we mention oil fields, there's tons. Like, you can't throw a stick without seeing an oil rig out there somewhere. Yep. And so a lot of that is around, you know. But again, when we – I think we're going to go into the talk on the dock and what the difference is between that and between what we heard. So anyway, just, you know, they're all over. I mean, it's the richest point in Utah, really.
One point of clarification. You're going to hear Josh a lot in this episode. That's because Larry and I are both Joshes. So we're going by our nicknames. So just bear that in mind, I guess.
The man who just talked will be referred to as Stole, and sometimes Josh.
Yeah.
Or King Muckshit on High Hill. Can we refer to you like that? Is that fine?
Larry's voice is much easier to listen to.
It sounds like this.
I'm Larry.
Yeah.
Thank you. Better.
Okay. I'm the smooth one.
Sucky.
All right. In a world.
In a world with two Joshes.
One man
named Larry.
He will do it again for the sixth time. So, so I arrived on Saturday. You guys, once fucking Larry directed me to the goddamn campsite, thank you, by the way, pulled in, set up the camp, and we proceeded to get stoned, actually, is what we did.
Well, we talked however, and got to know each other. And
yeah. First time
stories.
I met you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't know you. We're just all, welcome to our campsite.
Yeah, I mean, I
it
think
was awesome.
We Shane easily could have murdered you, Shane.
I'm glad
we
you trusted.
Murdered you.
I'm glad you trusted
you in the lake.
John so much that you could just roll up to a couple of weirdos. No, it was great, though, and we had a great first night, and we got to know you and understood that we are all into the same shit.
All the same passion, I think, for the most part. Yep. One thing I want to mention, and we're going to try to play a clip here real quick. There's a dock where there's that. So there's campsites and there's a dock where you can launch a boat, whatever have you. We were really close to that, where you literally can walk down and sit out on there. We set launchers out there. You were hearing things the night before, and you're like, man, you got to check this out.
So about 7 p.m. Friday, it's almost like construction noises that were coming in and out, further and closer away, and I didn't even first hear them on the dock. I first heard of them trying to fly my drone by the bathrooms, you know, straight up from the campground, and they seemed to be coming closer and in, you know, closer and farther away, left to right.
Thanks for the clarification.
Center,
that's the
center
thing.
To behind you. Like,
so here's the thing. We took recordings down there, and again, we're going to hopefully play a quick clip, but it was coming from different directions, first of all. I'm going to rule out machinery because machinery has a routine. It's going to do the same thing. So that's why I talked about the oil fields earlier.
The oil fields, yeah. And Josh and I, or Larry and I, had actually driven up the day before right next to one, mm-hmm. and it was silent.
You don't hear, there's a shaft. That's all it is.
It's a grease shaft.
And even if it is noisy, it's going to be... as we're all making these symbols in the studio, like we're circle jerking back and forth.
So, I mean, I guess for the listeners, the reason there's so much so many oil rigs and everything out there is that they do a lot of fracking in the Uinta Basin.
Shitty, but yeah.
So that's why, like, it's all just oil fields and then weird BLM land and then weird, like,
and then
small towns.
Ute land. Like, all Indian
borderlands,
owned land. And
yeah, because that sits right in the center.
BLM land at, you know.
Scathed out of that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and even if it is an oil rig that maybe isn't mechanically sound, it is still going to have a routine, you know. Same thing over and over. It's not going to change because mechanics don't change. Just like your car is going to fire in all four R8 cylinders. It's the same thing. This didn't.
This was.
It changed over time.
I think
different rhythms.
Three different rhythms. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it would go. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it would move. And then it would come back. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
Yeah. It was weird.
It was a pretty good representation of it.
It was super rhythmic. Like, how would a machine make like that? That rhythmic? Sounds like that sounds rhythmic. Like a cool beat. You know what I mean?
One thing we talked about, which is kind of, I bring it up here and I'll throw it out there. And if you want to pick it and drag it into your little clubhouse, that's fine. But I'm going to throw it out there. When we were down there for a couple hours listening to this.
Yeah.
And I think it was it you, Larry, that mentioned this sounds like Indian drums?
I think it was me.
Or was it you, Al?
Yeah. It sounded like Native American drums.
It really did. Now, the thing is, it started the same time every night. So, and we're not going to beat this horse to death, but it happened. You heard it the night before. I heard it the same time the next night. I laid in my tent and heard it all night long.
You heard it all night long.
All night long.
And I heard it in the daylight too sometimes.
Yeah. I heard it in the daylight when I got there.
That's what I was going to say. It's not just a nighttime thing and it just doesn't happen at a certain time.
Because no, like by the time John and I got there, it felt like it was happening.
And I feel like everybody heard it differently because I would be sitting next to Josh and he'd be like, "Do you hear that? It's so loud right now." And I'd be like, "I don't hear shit."
So, yeah, well, it came from different directions. That was very apparent. And it wasn't consistent. Like, I mean, the beats were consistent, but it wasn't.
That's my main point with it. It just doesn't make sense.
Like a 4 to 5 mile radius around us. You know what I mean?
Because everything's backwards, flat. Forwards. I mean, if you look at where you're hearing sound coming from, you know, your mountains are way the fuck out.
Yep.
So we're in, again, the base and the plateau of that. Sound's going to carry. And yes, at night, sounds carry a lot better because of the atmospheric changes.
We were hearing that shit during the day,
too. Mm-hmm. I heard it pretty. Yeah. I feel like almost consistently.
Yeah.
But there were moments where I wouldn't hear anything for a couple hours and then it would come back and
sometimes it would go away. Yeah.
Yeah. But then then you'd hear it for 15, 20 minutes. And then for me anyway, it would go away and it just kept coming and going, but it was constant from when I got there on Sunday and left on Tuesday.
So day two, we roll into that. Of course, you know, we're up and out and then, you two jokers showed up. And there's that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we showed up day three.
Yeah, I think.
Well, day three for them.
Technically day three for the whole expedition, but.
Yeah.
Day one for you guys.
Mm-hmm. And the first 2 days that you guys were there, it was cloudy.
Very cloudy. Even the night that Shane, which was the second night that Shane got there, it was cloudy, but we did hear those sounds. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's why we really didn't do anything further. Yeah. Because I forgot about that too.
We went out to the dock.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
We tried, but
it was just completely covered in clouds.
Yeah. We talked about going up to Skinwalker, but honestly, with just everything the first night, and you know, we just decided, you know what, let's sit and squat and do it here.
And I wanted to drink a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second, the day we got there.
So day three of the expedition, let's go from days of the expedition.
Yeah. So what was that? Monday or Sunday?
It was Sunday. So Sunday, Stole.
Sunday morning, you guys came.
Stole and myself get there. And, I mean, we kind of just basically waited for dusk to happen.
Well, we did go on a little mini day expedition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To Bottle Hollow, the lookout point, because...
I forgot about that. We did.
Saturday day, Larry and I discovered these signs that said Space Wolf Research.
That's right.
Which is
we drove around. There's a road that goes around the perimeter of Skinwalker and a couple of adjacent properties, and we drove around it and saw there was a sign, you know, a logo and everything that said Space Wolf Research, and we were like, wait a minute.
Oh, that's Space right. I remember wolf? You show me the picture. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I had a picture of a wolf with an eye patch.
Well, and
encompassed in a triangle with a UFO, on top.
It was badass wolf, I got to say.
It reminded me of the cover of Lord Weird Slough Egg record.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like a 1980s fucking hard rock band. That is the cover.
Exactly,
it would be
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the first thing that I thought when I saw that was... You know, the wolf that couldn't be killed by the Shermans.
Yeah, I'm
on Skinwalker Ranch. That was the first thing I thought of.
I'm
Space Wolf. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it's in reference to.
I'm fairly certain that that's what it's.
It could be. I think though, sign, it's in reference to property that people who have no.
Well, they have no direct affiliation with
Skinwalker.
Yeah, it's adjacent.
It's right next to it, but that one dirt road.
It's a research team, kind of like Cold Research, that grabbed the land and said, fuck it, if you're not going to tell us anything, we're going to do our own research, and it has bought the land adjacent to Skinwalker. Yep.
And we'll cover that a little bit more in detail later on when we actually do our night trap. I think it's interesting because I think that's exactly what it is, and not to delve too much, but you guys had a little contact with maybe some of the people from Space Wolf. I have as well.
Yeah.
Nothing's really in the bag yet, but we discuss, and they've liked some things that we've put out, some of the emails we've thrown around.
Yep.
It's a partnership that maybe is growing, maybe it won't. I would like to kind of go back to that area a little bit when we talk about, you guys saw that. It's on the backside of the ranch. This area, again, a little bit on the history. You have Skinwalkers that sits there, which is 200 acres. From the backside, you can kind of see the house, I guess, original ranch house.
With binoculars, you can see the corral, I guess is what you'd you'd call it. You can see the corral and like the
like a lookout thing that sits on the corner.
Yeah, kind of connected to the corral. There's like some type of lookout. And
oh, yeah, the pen with the tower.
The pen with the tower. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Gotcha. Thank you. I can't speak English.
I saw your hands. I was trying to choreograph with you, but I failed completely.
Fortunately, none of you people can see me do a
this is an audio
football
medium,
field goal sign.
Interpretive dance doesn't really work.
I think we're doing YMCA, but evidently that's not the case. You got the Y down.
This was the American Sign Language for tower.
ancient Ugandan signal.
Yeah.
So, so you can see the tower from binoculars. You can see the house from the backside. When you drive around the ranch up on the ridge, which is what we'll talk about here in a little bit, the one thing to take away from this is there's something that's really adjacent to the ranch called Bottle Hollow. Bottle Hollow, so Fort Duchesne in its day, the reason it's called Fort Duchesne was because it actually was a fort. So it was one of the places where the army actually kind of settled back in the late 1800s. They had troops that were sanctioned there along with some of the local Native American residents as well. It used to be a ravine, and they would just take and throw their whiskey bottles in there and fill it up and fill it up. Well, after mid-19th century, 50s, 60s, they actually turned it into a reservoir.
Yeah, I think
that's
what
it is now.
It's somewhere,
a recreational reservoir now.
Right? And you see boats. Yeah. Right, you see boats out there. You see people kind of doing their thing. That really, like there's Bottle Hollow, which is what that is, and then there's where we were at. Then there's a ridge, and then
there's
Skinwalker's
a little
right
ridge
there
with a road on it that you can go in between the two, and then on the other side is Skinwalker Ranch. Right, you know.
So we reference
the fence and then the property.
Right, exactly. So we reference back to like where things are geographically. They're really, really close,
really
honestly.
Close, yeah,
it's not.
And Bottle Hollow has a big history of UFO sightings and
UFO sightings
lore.
And there's actually a lake serpent lore.
I heard about that. I stumbled on that story.
That is in Bottle Hollow too. I'm actually kind of bummed we didn't go down there, but you know.
Well,
oh well.
Why didn't you say
next year?
Well, because I was kind of scared and I wanted to leave.
talking to you.
That was later that night. So the day trip was basically like scouting. Like this is where we think we're going to see some cool shit.
We found the spot that we were going to go to at night.
Yeah.
I eventually stayed alcohol sober to drive us there.
Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
I'm not a big booze guy. But I like.
Well,
like,
we were keeping it cool
for
the trip.
We really were.
It wasn't crazy.
No, yeah, I guess we don't want to damage.
I wasn't wrangling
our
animals.
We were hammered the whole fucking time.
Well, yeah,
because we weren't.
I don't want to say like no, we were.
But we're adults and we like to drink beer. I don't think that alters. I've never drank beer and seen lights in the sky.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all I'm trying to say.
Man, you just haven't drank enough beer then.
You need two more.
Just kidding. Jesus. God, with all that being said, yeah, so it was a scouting trip. It was cool. We got some ice. We got back to the campsite. We talked about kind of our plan, and then we waited. And so we waited for nighttime. We waited for dusk. And we went back out again, you know, with a designated somewhat driver. We went back out to that ridge. The ridge we were out, you can't see Skinwalker, but we're on top of the ridge. Again, Bottle Hollow is behind us. We tried to do some drone footage, I think, if you want to.
That was during the day.
Yeah, in the daytime, we tried to do some drone footage. either it was the Skinwalker or the wind or the $45 drone that I had that I couldn't get
yeah,
it up.
I was going to say that's where we lost drone one.
I'm putting money on the $45.
Hey, 2 days before I got that shit probably 60 feet in the air.
Yeah.
For about 7 minutes. So.
Yeah, but you know what? I turned around and all of a sudden, like, Al's gone. Like, there's no Al. I'm like, where the fuck is that? And you know I look what? Over. Your drone flew down the fucking cliff.
I got it into the air.
You yeah. dig it in there.
It flew near Bottle Hollow. True. Hit true. The power line, and it sent me on a little,
little excursion. 18-minute
trip down the rock face.
I got some footage of you walking around down there looking for your drone, looking kind of like Bigfoot. It was pretty fun.
Shitty Bigfoot.
Hell yeah.
Was I blurry?
A little bit, yeah.
Were you waving your arms a little bit around? A little pissed off?
Drummer Bigfoot.
So, yeah, that was part of the day. But at night, you know, we waited for dusk and we loaded up one rig. And we took one rig out there and we went back to that same site. I think I counted, one car that passed us, maybe two. Wasn't very many.
It was just locals. We talking about at night?
Yeah. At night, yeah.
There were a few.
Two to three.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
came down the direct...
Right.
Because there's two roads and they split off. One road goes down right where we were parked and one road goes right next to Bottle Hollow.
So
we were right near the split in the road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about this after we get done with our night talk, but when you come on that side of the ranch and you come down and the road kind of splits and it turns into, I don't say dirt, but it, you know, it does a sharp curve and it goes up and we're on the other side of the ranch heading yeah. up towards the ridge. The minute we hit that spot, I was just like, ugh. That's when.
So when we were going up. Okay.
We're going up to.
I wanted to tell you that because the energy that I had felt the first 2 days was super dull, white noise. And as soon as I'm driving up that place, it was like someone flipped on a light switch.
Yep.
And then it was like,
thank you.
Yep. And I was like, okay.
Right in that.
Okay, we're here. As soon as we're turning up to go up there, it was like someone went.
And there's more to that story. Remind me, there's more to that story. Yes. But sorry. So we headed up that way. We parked at the ridge and we had all of our equipment in the back and we set up equipment. And we were up there for.
Hour and a half, two hours,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got footage of, wasn't too sure what it was. I think it was lightning for the most part after we kind of orientated ourselves and where it was. It was far off in the distance.
It looked like lightning, but I can see where you were. It was in the same exact area.
It never moved.
Never moved.
Like it didn't hover. The storm didn't move from one section to another, but.
And from the distance we were at, it looked like the lightning was striking. Over and over in a really small area, no idea how far away that was, so it could have been a bigger storm farther away.
But at the same time, it was just lightning, even if...
Yeah, but for sure it was weird to see from that vantage point.
Sure.
Yeah, from our naked eye, it looked very localized.
Yeah, it looked like it was right over the ranch.
Yeah.
It did, like we're right... Looking, exactly. And I kept looking, thinking, God, I was born in Montana. I know how storms move. Storms move. They're going to shift one way or another. It never shifted. It never went anywhere.
That's the thing is these things are so normal, but then you're like, but that part of it.
Right. That little one off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That little part of it just doesn't quite make sense.
That's the only thing that I think is strange because the whole time I saw it, I'm like, that's just lightning.
Me too.
But yeah, it never moved.
But then that, after so many minutes, I was like,
I'm also not a meteorologist, but I mean, it stayed.
I'm not a real gynecologist by putting on my tool shed.
It did stay in that.
It was a lot more stationary than a thunderstorm, like electrical storm that big should be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They,
well, it's the same thing with the sounds. Like they could have been mechanical things from oil rigs, but then after so long and after they changed directions all the time, you're like, wait a minute. There's something just slightly off about it.
I'm going to call that. I'm going to say that wasn't from oil rigs. It's not my business. I mean, my job is.
I don't think mechanics. It is either. I'm just saying. At first, you feel like, okay, well, I need to.
Right.
Explain well, you want to get an you want to rationalize it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And because then it adds an element where you're like, there's no fucking way. You know what I mean?
What's up, guys? Alex here from Cold Research Team and Lights, Lies, and the Lizard Man podcast. Do you folks like skinwalkers, UFOs, and punk rock? Then you're going to love this 2-part 7-inch we recorded with Strange Uncles podcast.
Join us as we circle pit into the heart of the Uinta Basin, hear our personal accounts of what we experienced out there, and rock out to this two-part barn burner. Side 1 drops September 22nd. Side 2 drops October 4th. Close the gates.
Yeah, so we got freaked out, and it was time to go.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. Again, I was trying to look at my lightning storm that constantly happened in one area, which is just weird. So we did. So we gathered everything up. We decided to pack up after that, and we got everything back in the 4Runner.
Almost everything.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. Like, they're okay. So we had gear. We had video cameras. We had 4K cameras. I had all my Zoom equipment for the audio. You guys had your audio. You had your Tascam, I think, Larry. Yes. My camera's on a tripod. I'm telling you right now, there's no fucking way that I broke down that tripod and I put it on the ground.
No.
I remember throwing it in the back of that 4Runner. I know where I put it. I remember putting it in there. And again, maybe I'm 3 beers in a 2-hour period.
No, I did an idiot check because someone left like their hat and their other jacket thing. On the
right.
ground.
Right. By like you looked
where
around.
The chairs were, and I didn't want
that to I be went and looked around right before we left as well. Yeah. I didn't see anything.
And when we say look around in the dark, we mean cameras, lights, looking. Okay.
No, headlamps. Cool.
In a 10 by 10 area. We didn't That's all go it was. Far. You know what I mean?
Right. Right, exactly.
Right behind the car.
So we load everything up in the car, and we decided to come back down off this thing. Of course, again, keep in mind, it was the sound of the coyotes, different angles coming from us. What we were seeing, again, just a reference, you can't see Skinwalker, but we're right basically over the ridge is where, if you looked over the ridge, the ranch was right there. So we're pretty close for the most part.
Yeah, about as close as you can get.
Yeah, really.
Minus the front gate.
Well, right. And the feeling right. at that point, too, was a lot different than when we drove up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was.
When we drove up, I was starting to feel that when you talk about that light switch
flipping
on. That
light switch turned on, but as we were going down, that light switch was on like 75 to 85%. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, okay. So we were coming down that hill, and when I was talking briefly earlier about coming around that corner of Skinwalker and where I personally felt, and it's my emotions, you know, where I felt, same thing you said, Al,
well,
coming up.
Side note, I'm pretty sure that bend is called Dead Man's Bend.
Oh, joy.
I researched on some YouTube videos, and this Native American fellow was talking about how there's this lookout point, and it's called Dead Man's Curve or Dead Man's Bend. And I'm almost 100% sure that that's where we were at.
I don't know what else around that area.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
would be that.
Right.
That's the only thing.
Because that's only switch
that's
curve.
That's the only description near Skinwalker and Bottle Hollow that you can even drive on publicly.
And that's why we decided, you know, when we went on that, on the drive, you know, that goes around the properties, I guess. We're like, this is exactly where we need to be.
It's the highest point.
Between Bottle Hollow and Skinwalker Ranch, that's the spot. You know?
Yeah. So yeah, we moseyed down Dead Man's Bend.
Dead Man's Curve.
Dead Man's Curve.
That's what I think it's called. You know? Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's the case, that kind of makes sense, I guess, to a certain point. You were driving, Al. Yes. Again, you were in the passenger seat. We were in the back. I was on the left-hand side. And out of nowhere, once we took that bend, I saw this fucking black arm. And if it would have hit the side window, I wouldn't have been a bit surprised. Like, I just saw a whole arm and a hand come out of nowhere.
Well, and all I heard was...
Yeah, you heard me yep a little bit, didn't you?
And I said, no, what was that? And you said, nothing. Keep driving.
You know why? Okay, there's a reason for it.
I know why, but I knew that I had heard something in your voice that was something other than me just running over a bird.
Yeah,
you know what
like,
I mean?
Oh, shit! Or something.
Yeah, yeah. So once I saw arm in the hand, I saw the arm in the hand like it was just night and day, just like I'm looking at you guys right here. It had to be attached to something. Corner of my eye, you know, there was a figure standing on the side of the road right there. I mean, as plain as day. That's where my yipping came into.
Yeah, you freaked me out because I was looking at the road the whole time, and I'm like, there's nothing in the road.
What you- I,
Where did that come from?
Yeah, I heard that and I was like, what? And
well, yeah, Larry actually said, should we turn back? And all four of us were like, no!
we shouldn't.
See, I was like, keep going.
So that means it was something.
But honestly, as soon as you said that you saw that, that light switch turned on like a dimmer switch to 160 for me. Because it...
It felt like something was on
the back of my neck until we got back.
It almost
back
felt
to
like
camp.
Something was chasing us down.
Because we were talking about that.
It too. Felt so good to get finally on the road to Pelican Lake. So,
out of there. Yeah.
Like out of that little ring road that goes around all those properties. It felt so good to finally get past that stop sign and onto the road like that goes through Randlett and everything. Like once we were off that road.
It felt like the energy it was like tapered the weight off. But honestly, I felt like that energy followed us right to camp because as soon as we got to camp, got all settled, went on the dock, we saw our first orb.
Mm. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
And you know what? At that point, we're going to do some quick promos. We're going to end this episode and start episode part two here for the next week. I will say when we got back to the camp, not only that with the emotion, yes, it did sound, it felt better for me when we went on the main highway because I was an emotional wreck and you get, and I know it sounds gay and metrosexual, but
no,
I was drained.
Nothing wrong with acknowledging your emotion, Shane. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. Shut up, you.
I didn't see it, yeah. Shane, but I fucking felt it. As soon as you gasped, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all have facial hair, but it doesn't mean that we're against anyone's emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can be in tune with them, and I think that's something important to be in tune with in these types of situations.
I think so too. Mike Perdue, that you guys know from Ochre Mountain Paranormal, that's something that he says all the time. You know, when you feel like you need to run and get out, that's the one time that you need to stand your ground. And holy, you know,
that rings true, Shane.
He, man, I'll tell you, you got to meet the guy. I'm part of another group that you guys might know, Ogre Mountain Paranormal. I'm the sound guy there. And, you know, we've been on a couple of investigations. Very interesting, but that's something that the founder mentions and, you know, something he said about that when we did get back to the site. And yes, we'll talk about emotions in episode two. We'll talk about what we missed in episode two. And, hopefully you guys like the first half of this thing. You can follow us. You can check our website at mystrangeuncles.com. You can write us at strangeuncles@gmail.com. Or you can call us at 801-252-6945. Please call us with your stories, your encounters, or any emotions you may have. I know we have some, obviously, you've heard in this this episode. So
also find us at Strange Uncles Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find us at Strange Uncles on Twitter, and you can find the Cold Research Team at
Cold Research Team on Instagram, Cold Research Team on Facebook, and
we're also have a new podcast in the works called Lights, Lies, and the Lizard Man,
which is also linked to the Cold Research Instagram. So,
and we'll be releasing something shortly.
Yes, correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's go cool. Party.
All right.
So, close the gates.
Close them gates.